If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor,
Doctor,
Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. And we're ready here on the American Voice Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And magical for engineer Frankie's ready, and I'm ready. We got a quack report. We got all kinds of neat stuff. We're going to be talking about the first part. We're going to talk about gardens. I love gardens. They make you happy. We're going to talk about why that's the case. Why do gardens make people happy? We're going to talk about that and lots of other good stuff. But before we get going, gotta honor the Lord. He gets all the credit every day, all the time. So the devotional is Romans 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Amen. And mind the time if you're not hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, and praying and having a good relationship with the Lord, because that is the way. Find the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the Quacker Abbott Labs put out a 5-minute coronavirus test kit, being really hyped out there. They're actually using the kit at the White House to test people there. Apparently, New York University did a study using this kit from Abbott, and they said it misses 1/3 of the coronavirus samples they collected with nasal swabs and throat swabs. So kits miss 48% of positive results, they said. So I don't know. Well, you make kits in haste, I guess. What happens is, anyway, really, any test, any medical test has a 20% error margin. So, all right, last but not least in the Quack Report, how about this? This is a new chip out of the University of Utah. Scientists at the Department of Mechanical Engineering, University of Utah, designed a chip to turn wasted heat into electricity. 2/3 of the energy that we consume in the United States, they say each year, is wasted as heat. So heat that comes off your appliances, your other gadgets, engines, laptops, mobile devices, refrigerators. They say we can take all that heat, turn it into electricity. Just with a tiny pencil eraser-sized chip that helps convert excess thermal radiation or heat into electricity. So according to the scientists, they say we can extract the heat from the processor using a device. And once we extract the heat, we convert it to radiation and then convert that into electricity, and we put it back onto, let's say, a battery and increase maybe battery life. Their research got published in the Journal of Nature Nanotechnology, and the chip they're using, 2 silicon wafers, that's the chip, separated by a nanoscopic gap, approximately 100 nanometers. That's 1/1000th of a diameter of the breadth of a human hair in thickness. Crazy. I mean, get your specs on to look at that thing under a microscope, because it's tiny. So they're going to be converting. That's all right. Well, positiveness. We can save on our electric bill, hopefully, one day. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about... You have a garden, Frank? I think you do, don't you? I know you had chickens. I think you do. You have a garden. You told me you did. Gardens are cool. They're coming back into vogue. They are. They're amazing. They're amazing. I'm hoping to have a garden soon. I'm trying to relocate so I can have one. A lot of places won't let you have gardens in neighborhoods. You know that, Frank? It's terrible. I just think people need to check all that stuff out. So Frank has a garden. He needs a new fence, he says, around his garden. Well, maybe someone out there can send you some donation cash and you can get a fence up there, Frank. So we're going to talk about gardens. Why do they make us happy? Well, we've heard a lot of reports that, when humans connect with nature, they get out of the city, their health is positively impacted. But now there's this study from Princeton University reporting that when we grow plants, our health is also improved. So humans are meant to connect with nature and not be cooped up inside, because when that happens, our health diminishes. So we're going to check out what these reports are saying and see how we can better our health. But first, let's talk about the city versus the country, because whether you're a city slicker or a country cowboy, all humans need to connect with nature from time to time. So there was this report out of Clemson University in April 2016, and they stated that people who live in cities need to visit green parks, and the size of the parks affect the well-being. So city zoning should be set to protect these greenways from all this expansion. So the quality of human life really depends on making sure that there is a balance between greenery and concrete. Now, city planners realize that cities produce stress surroundings. So, you know, a lot of noise and concrete, you know, heat, especially in the summer. So trees, grass, and plants soften that harshness of the urban environment. So now the Clemson study found that just having strips of grass and a tree-lined street isn't enough, not enough for well-being, and having an adequate-sized park has to be part of the city planning. And depending on the size of your city, you may need more than one park. So size matters, especially with this. According to the Clemson study, good-sized parks in the midst of a city preserve not only the recreation and tourism, but health and happiness. So going to the park relaxes people and reduces their stress. So the research was published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine and the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, and also the Journal of Public Library of Science 1. So the green space study says that city planners have to include green space in their sprawling designs, and it's often referred to as ecosystem service. So when we hear this, you know, I wonder about the inner city public schools, which often have little to zero green spaces. Now, some hospital complexes also have very little green space to improve the patient health. And most cities are planned out in these grids. And according to these greenery experts, a park should be a straight shot walk from business, schools, and neighborhoods. And this would suggest most American cities do not offer enough green space or enough parks. And I know some places try to include dog parks. You know, take your dog to their specific park for dogs to run around. Here is a quote from Professor Lincoln Larson at Clemson University. He says, "Our research suggests parks have a unique capacity to enhance physical health and foster a sense of community. Park quantity that is measured by the percentage of city area covered by public parks was consistently among the strongest predictors for well-being. And it's not just the parks, but every type of urban green space that matters when it comes to public health and happiness." End of quote. Well, parks, green space, always a good thing. Now let's get to the gardening. Anybody out there with green thumbs? You ready? I know you've been puttering already out there in your gardens. I got apple trees in pots, you know. I'm looking for the new location to plant them. But gardening and health, gardening affects health, because this was a May 2020 research report from Princeton University, and they reported that having a home garden not only produces food, but it also provides emotional well-being. So gardeners are happy people. And gardening was measured to be as pleasurable as dining out, hiking, or experiencing a walking trail. So gardening relaxes the body, and it relaxes the mind. And it didn't matter who was gardening or where they were gardening, because rooftop, urban gardeners, they all experienced the same joy as even rural gardeners. So economic class didn't even factor in this report, because rich or poor, everybody can garden and still derive a sense of well-being that gardening brings. Now, out of the 15 other activities, gardening topped the list for women and people in general to derive emotional well-being. So there is something about growing edible plants that is sustaining, rewarding, and empowering to people. Now, teaching young kids also how to garden is also a wonderful experience, and it's something the child never forgets. So the research on the gardens was published in the Journal of Landscape and Urban Planning, and here's what the folks at Princeton Environmental Institute say. Gardening could provide the health benefits of fresh air, fresh fruits and vegetables, promote physical activity, and support emotional wellness, which can reinforce sustainability and healthy behavior. Mm. Well, and then your gardening activities, because according to their study, how people gardened didn't really matter, and it still produced well-being, whether it is a community garden project, a family garden, or a solo retired person doing their gardening, the end results were kind of the same. So the emotional wellness applies to even ornamental or flower gardens, as well as those who grew vegetable gardens. So people that, though, there was a higher ranking for those growing the vegetable gardens, they sensed they had a higher level of emotional well-being. Well, and most gardeners that I know like to share their produce. You know, they grow so much they can't eat it all, so they share it with people, and that giving it away, that giving element also, I'm sure, adds to that wellness feeling. And then, of course, gardeners are really, really great problem solvers. Gardeners like to solve the gardening problems they come up with, and they share their findings with a lot of folks. For instance, let's say you're growing some squash and you've battled the squash beetle thing and you want to keep the garden organic. So finding ways to get rid of these pests is kind of a challenge if you want to go organic. So one gardening tip is to shake self-rising flour onto the squash leaves so the beetles eat the flour, and then the yeast in the self-rising flour will expand in their stomach, causing some deadly bloating. So it's kind of a feeling of accomplishment to solve these challenges with everyday items that you have around the house. It's kind of neat. It's empowering. You feel clever. Well, the garden time is also important. According to the Princeton researchers, they say the average gardener in their study tended to their garden for about 90 minutes a week. And they compare that to other time involved with the activities their participants also engaged in that brought them well-being. So like biking, they spent 30 minutes biking, or walking, they spent 40 minutes walking. So gardening was, you know, they spent more time on it because it seemed more pleasurable. So this research is really highlighting that home gardening is among the top five activities in terms of how meaningful an activity felt to people when they were engaged in it. Princeton Environmental Institute says this: many more people garden than we think, and it appears that it is associates with higher levels of happiness similar to walking or biking, end of quote. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people, like, you know, even if they're not growing a garden, they like to do their lawn and their landscaping stuff, and it relaxes them. They like it. So you got some meaningful moments when you're out there and getting your hands in the dirt and your toes kind of wiggling around in the grass. So according to all this research, the team said they reported that people who garden kind of get a kick out of producing their own food. Now, producing food in your garden makes you kind of feel more empowered and secure. So self-sustainability gives the brain that positive emotional chemical thing going on. It boosts the person's well-being, level of contentment. Now, this gardening high, if you will, this effect is highlighted by this 2017 study by Phillips Conservatory and Botanical Gardens in Pittsburgh, when they launched this home garden project. And after the project was concluded, 70% of the participants still garden today. I got hooked on it. Now, if you're wanting to garden, and if you're not out in a very rural area, if you're kind of in an urban area, you may want to check the garden regulations. Yeah, they're out there. When you're, let's say you're going to go purchase a home. Yes, when you're purchasing, I was getting to that, Frank. When you purchase a home in, let's say, an urban environment, and let's say you're a garden enthusiast, it's really important to check the property covenants, their homeowners association, and the town ordinances regarding gardens. Even if you're in a more rural setting, like near a lake, it's really good to check out these things, because most of us would not really have any objection to a garden, but you'd be surprised what can restrict such activities like gardening. Like communities, for instance, they don't want a garden with tall tomato plants obstructing lake views, even from the street view, okay, because they want people to be impressed with their neighborhood. So always check with gardens, check if your gardens are permitted and any rules associated with them. And beware of ambiguous wording regarding gardens, and get it in writing from the power governing them that you can have a garden and the type of garden that you want before you buy the property, okay? Just, you know, heads up. And by the way, pandemics affect gardens, because this recent COVID pandemic highlighted the need for gardens, and it was difficult to get organic heirloom seeds. Still kind of hard to get them. People just rush to buy them. Now, learning to garden and how to can fruits and vegetables, learning to garden and can fruits and vegetables can help us to feel more secure when pandemics like that occur. So you have some things, run short at the store. You can go to your pantry and your canned good, your canning area. And if you're going to have a garden, don't forget to, plant some herbs, because you want to partition off a little area of your garden for culinary and medicinal herbs. Yeah, that's cool. Now, if you do an herb garden, it's going to attract beautiful butterflies and honeybees. It's especially if you plant echinacea. They love that. They just love. You'll see them flutter all over the place. So gardening can give you peace of mind and well-being. Just kind of, tinkering around, learning. I don't know. When I cultivated my own apple trees from seeds that I saved from an organic apple that I had. And I thought it was very cool. I got 6 apple trees in pots. I just need a land to put them in now. But it's just, you feel great. You feel just really great. And, even if you're in a city, maybe you're in a high rise, a lot of times you can have the rooftop gardens. Check with the landlord. But you can have a rooftop garden going on. A lot of people up there do that. So having a successful garden can offer peace of mind and well-being. And if you don't have a green thumb, you can actually start out small. And then you can, kind of catch that gardening fever, right? So now the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they offer the Power Herbs ebook, and it does have an herb symptom section that can help guide you on which herbs you may want to plant. Depending on, your family's history of illness, you can look at the herb symptom reference area and see what your herb options are. And that can guide you as to maybe, tailor your herb garden to your family. You can pick up a copy of this ebook. It's an electronic downloadable book for $14.99 at thepowerherbs.com. Okay, thepowerherbs.com. And you can also request their free 20th anniversary product catalog. It's full of immune support formulas, organ cleanses, pandemic kits, and a whole lot more. So you can give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. And I do apologize for anybody in Canada who was trying to call our toll-free line. It got messed up somehow. We had to call the phone company, and we had to have them straighten that out. So if you were trying to reach us and couldn't get through, or if you got busy signals, we do believe we have that all repaired now. Phone company, I don't know. How does a phone, Frank, go into disrepair and you didn't make any changes? It just all of a sudden stopped working. I don't know how that works, but phone company, they don't admit to anything. So, but yeah, you're right. Some of the government restrictions don't want you gardening. So do your homework on that. And you're entitled to feed yourself. So, what part of my rights shall never be infringed is what I would say. But Frank's saying what? They messed with it because, you're saying the phone company broke it? Oh, phone company broke my phone line. Shame on them. We'll have to say a prayer for them. For sure. It's terrible. Okay, I want to say a big thanks for those who have been writing in, giving us some feedback on our newsletters. We appreciate that. It makes us very happy that we're, kind of fulfilling some of your needs out there and for some information that's helpful. So if you haven't signed up for the newsletters, they're free. You go to the powerherbs.com website and sign up there under the books and newsletters tab. And the American Survival newsletter goes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. And you'll get wellness information in there. The American Survival also has some great information from the people at Discount Gold and Silver. They have a lot of financial stuff they can they share with in their articles. It's very great. It's great. So free and it's great. I love it. Thepowerherbs.com and sign up there if you have email. It's only delivered by email. Okay. A lot of people think, oh, pop that in the mail to me. No, it's email only, not snail mail. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. We're going to be talking about some foods that can help you out. If you tend to have kidney stones, there's some foods you might want to avoid that will tend to make you prone to having kidney stones. So if you avoid the foods, you probably eliminate the problem altogether. Because kidney stones are very common. It's a urinary tract problem. 10% of the United States population experience kidney. That's 30 million people, Frank. That's a lot of people. Have you ever been to the doctor's office and someone's kind of squirming around in the chair on the floor with kidney stone waiting to be seen? I see that in a lot of trades, like guys they're hands-on trade folks because they tend to eat on the road and they're not eating so well, and they tend to get a lot of kidney stones. Men are 3 times more likely than women to get the kidney stones. And once you get them, you're 40% more likely that you're going to keep getting them unless you make some changes. So 80% more likely, to have kidney stones for about 25 years because people don't realize what the kidney stones are from. And it's usually lifestyle choices. So some people are more prone to developing the kidney stones than others. Some of the factors that increase your risk are obviously heredity, infections, medications you may be taking, metabolic malfunctions, and your diet. Okay, so those are the top ones. But more times than not, it's diet from what I see. So it should be noted Caucasians more predisposed to kidney stones than African Americans. So that's interesting too. So mostly people will start picking up the kidney stones between ages of 20 and 40. That's usually when we see them. And if you take thyroid hormones or loop diuretics, you're going to be at a higher risk as well of getting kidney stones. And the stones are hard crystals. They're crystals that get separated from the urine and then they accumulate on the inner lining of the kidney. And it's usually made of calcium, oxalate, phosphate. So if you don't have this proper balance of chemicals in the urine to dissolve the stones, well, then they're going to develop and they're going to be a problem. So what you eat will affect these chemicals and the crystal content in your urine. So you want to prevent that buildup. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, how you can prevent having these stones, the buildup. Usually it's the Western diet. It's really bad. So we're going to cover some do's and don'ts. Let me be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663. 1-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Talking about kidney stones and how to avoid that mess. So, you know, we're trying to talk about even countries that have adopted our Western diet. They started getting kidney stones, so this should be a big clue. So depends on your lifestyle. Also, maybe your family tree, if you have any predisposed weaknesses in the kidney area, you're going to get kidney stones. Calcium kidney stones are the most common. And typically, people like to get those flushed out of the urine. The calcium kind of hangs around and it binds with other waste minerals and the kidneys on the kidney filters, and then it forms the stone. But another kind of stone is a magnesium and ammonia waste product type of stone. This is usually what happens after a urinary tract infection. So also that uric acid stone is the third type. If you get too much acid in your urine, it's a kind of the rarest form of kidney stone, along with your cystine stone, which are elements that bind to the muscles and your nerves and builds up in the urine and causes cystinosis. So you want to be careful with the diet, because what you put in affects all this. So obviously you know what the symptoms are. If passing a stone can cause a lot of pain, a lot of these stones have little barbs and they kind of cut as they move through the tubing from the kidney to the bladder. And then you can be peeing some blood, because that's what that is. Other symptoms, you know, would be fever, chills, nausea, vomiting, a lot of cloudy urine, bad odor to the urine, burning sensation when you urinate. So, your doctor will probably use a complete workup. You may be subjected to things like x-rays, bladder dye injections in your veins, and x-rays to see if there's any tumors as well as stones. Of course, there's the urine analysis that checks for these cells, the white and red blood cells and other proteins in the urine. You'll probably, you know, get jabbed a whole lot as they take some of your blood and you tell you to drink a lot of water, try to flush it out. So some of the prevention that the Diabetes and Kidney Disease Institute, National Institute recommends, obviously drink more water, 12 glasses per day to flush out any stones. But they tell you drink juices, but they also have caffeine beverages in there, which I wouldn't recommend. Drugs that also can prevent calcium buildup can also be prescribed by your doctor, but Dr. Stanley Goldfarb of the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in Philadelphia says, just change your diet. You can cut the risk in half by doing that. So the Mayo Clinic agreed, and their test case of 108 patients changed their eating habits, drank more water, and they had no kidney stones for the next 5 years. So what are some of the dietary changes they recommended? Well, if you're prone to the kidney stones, people who cut back on all the meats, reduced the protein in the urine, had fewer stones, cut your meat portion to 2 or 4 ounces a day and boost your vegetable consumption. Vegetarians have fewer stones, according to the study done in Great Britain, and the study concluded vegetable fiber was the antidote to kidney stones, mainly because it decreases the amount of calcium in the urine. So patients who went from vegetarian diets to eating meat increased the calcium in their urine and increased their risk of stones. Also, there was a study at Halifax Stone Clinic at Camp Hill Medical Center. Those who ate more wheat or corn bran fiber dropped the calcium in the urine significantly and reduced the occurrence of stones by about 60%. So diet matters, obviously. And let's look at the Asian folks. In after World War II, the people of Japan started to eat more of a Western diet, and their cases of kidney stones tripled. So this was a study done at Kenki University in Osaka. They tested 370 patients. They drank more water, ate more vegetables with their meals, and they avoided large dinners and ate early in the evening, way before bed. They were 60% less likely to develop stones based on what they were eating and when they were eating. And that diet actually worked even if the person had high calcium in their urine and were taking medication. So look at the power there, just the tweaking of the diet. So some of the foods you might want to avoid, foods that tend to create an oxalate crystalline stone. So things like sweet potatoes, baked beans, blackberries, rhubarb, and spinach, peanuts, tea, and chocolate can put more oxalate into the urine, creating more stones. And you may want to reduce your animal calcium foods like dairy to reduce that calcium quota. Cutting back on this is really not a bad idea because severe calcium restriction boosts oxalate in the urine, you want to have a balance. I always like plant-based calcium over cow's milk calcium, so you want a balance on calcium. So get your calcium from your vegetables, your fruits and herbs, and you won't have that risk. So the doctors at Harvard School of Public Health, they had this large study. Over 4 years, they did this study, found that men who ate calcium lowered their risk of stones 34% over men who restricted their calcium intake. So their study revealed calcium helps prevent oxalate from entering the blood and filtering through to the kidneys. And the study said that the calcium in natural foods did this and not calcium supplements. So your green leafy vegetables have natural calcium, oranges have natural calcium, and so on. Also, watch what you're drinking. The beverage of choice, if you have kidney stone sufferer, well, it'll be water. Restrict your alcohol to moderate consumption because alcohol will boost the level of calcium and dilute the citrus juices with more water. Other beverages you might want to avoid are caffeines like tea, hot chocolate, and sodas. Sodas are bad. they draw the calcium out of your bones and deposit those into your kidneys as stones, crystal stones. So 8 ounces of water every 4 hours while you're awake is what they recommend. Some other things that you can do to help yourself other than, you know, tweaking that lifestyle. Juniper berries have lots of oils in them, been known to help dissolve kidney stones. Juniper is really excellent at disinfecting also the urinary tract if you've had an infection. There are some other wonderful herbs for the kidney, bladder area. But the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a kidney bladder cleanse kit. They also have a kidney stone formula that you can use to help dissolve the stones. So you have some tools and options out there, but diet's going to be king for you as a prevention measure. Okay. You can use the herbs, as you transition, but you definitely want, you have the power right now to do something about it. And, just forget the drive-through. Cause all that food promotes kidney stones, especially soda. And, that's what I was saying. A lot of these, trade folks, they're on the road, they grab the drive-through food and off to the next job site, and they're the ones getting the kidney stones. So be careful out there. ThePowerHerbs.com. Check them out. 866-229-3663. If you got kidney stones, give them a call. Amazing. All right. And since we're talking about foods and the power of foods and we were into gardens and everything, we're going to talk about how food actually can change your genetic code. A lot of medical schools like Harvard, they would have you believe there are common modern diseases like diabetes, and it's all genetic driven. They'll tell you stuff like that. Patients are told, hey, you're born with this metabolic time bomb and it just went off. You're just going to have to live with it. We're going to help you manage your symptoms, but you really can't do anything about it. That's what they're told. So they say you've inherited a flaw. And it was definitely influenced by your ancestral diet. Science wants you to believe that, you know, that you've been dealt a deck of cards that are a problem, and let us resolve it maybe later on with gene editing or some other type of therapy. But there are some insights I would like to pass on to you. Some medical experts are stating that most illnesses are attributed to lifestyle. So modern lifestyle influences your overall health condition. So your body body fat, your weight, if you exercise or not, your diet, how healthy is it, and if you smoke or consume alcohol. So those are the big ones that really affect you, your overall health. Plus, it influences your genetic code. So if we weed through this techno talk that science puts out there in the data, what we find in general is your Western diet is pretty much a death sentence for your genetic code and your cells. The Diabetes Prevention Program did an analysis of patients who disposed of the Western diet for a healthier one. They got regular exercise, they avoided sugar and artificial sweeteners, and they found that they could reverse their diabetes within 2 to 3 years. So the sooner you get to it, the easier it is. They also reported that this mindset to live healthier and stick with it offered a 58% success rate at being diabetes-free. This did wind up in Prevention magazine. They reported that people who changed their eating changed their lives. So they listed the foods that diabetics can eat, and it looked like the Mediterranean diet that I'm telling you all along would be the thing to do. Because of the omega-3 fatty acids, the lentils, the beans, the nuts, the whole grains, the avocados, the olive oil, all these things influence your cells and the health of your genetic code, which you pass on. So if you've got a genetic defect, your doctor's telling you it's because your ancestors didn't have a great diet, and you need to change that because we tend to eat like our ancestors because they taught us how to eat. So in the United States, we have 3 internal medicine plagues that are now considered a normal or expected condition by medicine throughout society. So they're telling us that people are not that surprised when they hear a diagnosis of heart disease, diabetes, or cancer, especially as people age. They expect you to have that. So it may be common, but it's really not normal. to have those diseases. So when we consider cultural studies done around the world, there is this area in the planet where those conditions don't exist, hardly ever. And that's the Mediterranean area, Mediterranean diet, which shows you how important diet is. That's it. Whole foods. And I was just talking to a person today. I said, hey, they thought they were, you know, vegetarian. They were eating really great, but a lot of what they were consuming was prepackaged stuff with lots of salt and flavorings and stuff. I said, nope, got to do it yourself. Got to get in that kitchen, get them pots and pans going, get you down to the bookstore, get a book on Mediterranean cooking that you can make something in 20 minutes, and forget the prepackaged stuff. It's a mindset, and it's reteaching yourself how to prepare foods and your meal. And you're going to have to do it yourself if you want to get well. So now Indiana University in 2014 said that people with heart disease were low on iron, but they were getting too much iron that was not the good type of iron. So people with any internal medicine diseases are usually going to be low in minerals and other types of nutritional elements. That's it. The industrial farm complex has really gotten away from healthy farming, and the crops in our animals are not healthy anymore, and the food is not providing enough nutrition to sustain our health. 50% less nutrition. The soil's not rested. It's also coated with fertilizers and chemicals. So the plants struggle to absorb any nutrient out of the soil. And so we're paying the price. So it wasn't heart disease or cancer that are killing a lot of people. And people say, well, it must be pandemics or it must be war. Well, really, we're doing it to ourselves with poor farming, to be honest. So people, and if you read your scripture, your Bible, you'll see people well into their 80s were vital and strong men. They would go out to battle, you know, leap over a wall, take out a whole 300 men, 80, at 80 years of age, really. Now, Indiana University wasn't the only institution to mention this link between iron and heart disease. The Imperial College of London reported findings that got published in the Journal of Arteriosclerosis and Thrombosis and Vascular Biology, and how low iron increases the risk of heart disease and specifically coronary artery disease. And you're going to be having high blood pressure, and you're maybe even diabetic, and your blood doesn't have iron, it can't hold on to oxygen to deliver to the cells. And you're also going to be told that you're anemic. Frank, you know how I fix anemia? You know how I do that? I get beets and I juice them, and you drink the beet juice. That's it. He knew that. So full of minerals, the beets are. They super infuse your bone marrow with minerals, and that's your blood-making hub, your bones. And then all of a sudden, within 24 hours, you have wonderful blood profiles. Your doctor will be amazed. Actually, your doctor will be in denial that beet juice did that, but you will be healthy. So beets, you just juice the beets. You know, if you don't have a juicer, get a blender, chop the beets up and put a little water in, liquefy them and strain. Just the juice, not the fiber, just the juice. Now, if you're getting organic beets and you got a juicer, you can throw the tops in, the greens. But if you're using conventional, I wouldn't use the tops. Beets, amazing. The reason being, Frank's asking, is there any reason why we just wouldn't eat the beets? Well, because you won't eat raw beets. They're kind of hard, and they kind of taste metallic-y. So does the juice, but you can down the juice, and you actually can, if you want, you can cut it with a little V8 juice if you want. But you're going to have to drink about a gallon of it to get the blood profile back. And cooking the beets is not the same. No, pickled beets is not the same because you've altered the chemistry of the beets when you do that. So, I mean, And when you get the juice, Frank, you're getting the live enzymes and the amino acids and all the plant profile elements there and your minerals and your uptake minerals. And then you can just, oh, Frank says carrots with beets is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. But if you're diabetic, you can't do the carrot. Too much sugar. So beet juice, especially, a lot of people that are diabetic get that anemia thing. You know, and it's all because of the lack of minerals. That's what it is. So, iron rich beets and the heart disease, the high blood pressure, everything. Pew. You know, kick it to the curb when you get the nutrition in there. Because we're designed to run on nutrients and we're not getting them. And so the body struggles. We're not supposed to depend on a pharmaceutical industry to be healthy. So looking for your natural resources is what I do. People seem to be kind of obsessed with natural food sources. But sometimes, you know, you want the benefits of supplements sometimes if those food sources are not quite enough. So some people are really depleted and they got to do both for a little bit. When we look at some of the produce 100 years ago, we compare it to produce today. Science has determined it's 50% less nutritious than what our ancestors ate 100 years ago. Now, certified heirloom produce will offer more nutrition, so look for that or grow it yourself. Next best thing, get some whole food organic supplements to supplement the diet as you transition to, let's say, the Mediterranean diet. So we're told herbs are your medicines in the Bible. They're here for the service of man, the healing of the nation. From Genesis to Revelation, it's mentioned. So God can't lie, so we can rely on that truth, as well as getting our foods back together, organic foods, and the way we cook them and the way we serve them up. So you have a lot of power. Everybody listening right now has a lot of power just with foods, spices, and medicinal herbs. So much power. So much power over your well-being and health. Here is a quote from Brett Johansen, professor of biology at Norwegian University. He says, "We have found that a diet with 65% carbohydrates causes a number of different genes to work overtime. This effect can cause inflammation in the body and is also associated with cardiovascular disease, some cancers, dementia, and type 2 diabetes. So the immune system operates as a body's surveillance authority. And when we consume too many carbohydrates, the body is triggered to react and the immune system is mobilized as if it were an invasion of bacteria or viruses. So if you don't have a balance in the diet and you're eating too many carbs, you're going to have an inflammatory imbalance and a disease. So, it could be just about any inflammatory type of disease. So it makes a lot of sense. The simple carbohydrates found in the Western diet convert to more sugar. If you eat a complex carbohydrate that you find in the Mediterranean diet, it doesn't convert to sugar as readily, so you don't have that metabolic inflammation, see. So people can increase their risk of having fluid retention, chronic flu-like symptoms, and skin problems when they're getting too much carbs. And think of the refined white flour also causing a lot of arthritic joint issues. A lot of people are eating too many baked goods with that stuff in it, and it's causing arthritis. Dr. Johansen goes on to say, it seems clear that the composition and quantity of our diet can be key in influencing the symptoms of chronic disease. In choosing what we eat, we choose whether we provide our genes the weapons that cause disease. It is not wise to cut out all carbohydrates completely. It's about the right balance. So a good rule of thumb is a third carbohydrate, a third protein, a third fat, and this will help keep genes, immune system function, and disease in check. So, you know, this goes back to what your grandparents and your parents hopefully taught you, having a balanced diet, you know. And you probably heard some of the experts say whenever you look at your plate, it should look like a rainbow. So you get a balance of things, fruits, vegetables, carbs, meats, you know. And so rainbow, the vibrant pigment type vegetables are amazing if you want to help balance your system. Brett goes on to say, it took just 6 days to change the gene expression of each of our volunteers. However, if you want to reduce your likelihood of lifestyle disease, your new diet will have to be a permanent change. End of quote. Yeah, we are what we eat, for sure. So 6 days, you can change your genetic code. Just like you can change your blood to not be anemic in 24 hours with beet juice. It's amazing. You watch your doctor's head spin around like Linda Blair when you tell him I did that drinking beet juice. He'll think you're lying. But the lab work will tell the story. Dr. Martin Wohlhaut, director of Molecule Medicine, University of Massachusetts Medical School, says we already know that circadian rhythms, your sleep cycle, is affected by your diet. This points to the real possibility that we can use the complex connections involved in our diet, gene expression, and physiology, and how it relates to human disease. So now science is starting to see, the whole body's connected, and we can't just make it work with a bunch of toxic chemicals. We have to feed it nutrition so it can balance itself, because that's what it's supposed to and it's designed to do. So lots of studies out there involving animals, worms, humans, showing how really diet, direct influence on health, plants, animals, and humans. I mean, it's there. And we've been hearing from our mothers and grandmothers for generations, eat your vegetables, not the sweets. Be healthy. So modern medicine is now saying, hey, that was kind of smart. Kind of smart, right? Okay, so Frank's asking, how much of beets do we need to make a gallon of juice? Well, there's a question. Well, usually when you go to the store, your beets are in a clump of three or four, you know? So get two or three clumps. Start there. You may have to get more depending on how much juice is in the beet. You know, hopefully you don't get old beets. You get, you know, vibrant, good, healthy ones. But start with two or three bunches, Frank, and do that. So people who are anemic are, they feel sluggish and tired. And if you're diabetic, you've got too much sugar in the blood and it can't hold on to nutrients and like oxygen and iron. So that's why you're feeling anemic. So if I were diabetic, I'd do the beets, and I'd also do my system cleanses all the way to the blood system. And, you know, Mediterranean diet, of course. And I can see I'm out of time, but give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their free catalog, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, thepowerherbs.com is their web address, thepowerherbs.com. Sign up for their newsletters and get empowered each week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.